Hey there, Shellheads. Kevin here with an unexpected update in your podcast player. I'm sure you noticed normally Ninja Turtle Nerds updates on Mondays, so you're probably wondering why you're getting an episode here on a Friday. Well, we've talked here about, and you've heard us mention that for just $1 a month, it gets you access to our bonus episodes on Patreon. We call those bonus episodes Nerd Therapy, because it's basically a place for Sean and I to talk about all the other nerd stuff and get it off our chest that isn't Ninja Turtle related. So it's our little nerd therapy session. And since Sean and I are 12 episodes in at this point, we figured we would give you all a sample of what you would get from Nerd Therapy if you decide to join our Patreon at as little as $1 a month. So up next is last week's episode of Nerd Therapy here for you free as a sample of what you'll get every single week over on our Patreon channel, patreon.com/TMNTnerds. Links in the episode notes. It's on our Twitter. It's on our Instagram. It's everywhere you find us. You can find a link or you can just search us on Patreon. We'll come right up. So without any further delay, here's a free sample of Nerd Therapy. Hello, Patreon peoples. We love you guys and gals, I guess. I already went over this. When I say guys, like, that's not even a gendered term for me. Right, Sean?
It's us. We're back.
Yeah. Like, I think I said this in an episode of Turtle Nerds that might not have even aired yet. But, like, probably. I was talking about, like, I'd say to my two sisters, I'd be like, you guys want to get out of here? Like, I don't know. I just say guys, but whatever. Hello, welcome to Nerd Therapy, issue, episode, whatever, 11.
Double digits.
Right out of the gate.
1-1.
1-1, yes. A palindrome episode. And there is a lot of nerd stuff to talk about
this
week.
Yes, there is. So. Fortunately, a little bit of it I caught up with just before we started, because I kind of forgot that trailer was dropping today.
You know, it's funny. I came home from work and I watched the new episode of She-Hulk. And as the, like, right as the episode ended, I went, oh, hey, wasn't the Mario trailer supposed to drop today? And I Googled it and it said the Nintendo Direct starts at whatever time it started. And I was like, that's now. So I clicked on it.
Oh, wow.
And they talked for like not even a minute. And then they played the trailer live, and I was like, that was such perfect timing.
That'll never happen in my life.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was really cool. But what did you think of the Mario trailer?
I mean, it looks like Mario. I have no problems with it. I don't know.
It looked nothing like Bob Hoskins to me.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's that. That's why I... Everybody's freaking out by the design, and I'm like, it still looks like Mario. Like, Bob Hoskins didn't look like Mario.
I'm officially at the point where I realize people can't even handle the slightest change. Like, the littlest bit of change. Like, that's not Mario. It looks exactly like Mario. What are you talking about?
But, yeah,
like,
I mean...
People can't adjust. Like, I think their immediate reaction is that's not... exactly what I'm expecting to see, so I don't like it, rather than letting it grow on them, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I had no stakes either way in the movie, and now that I've seen the trailer, I actually want to see it.
Yeah, it looks really cool. That thing with Luigi, oh, we should say spoilers. Everything we talk about this episode is going to be spoilers, so if at any point we start talking about a topic you don't want to hear spoilers for, hit pause. hit pause and go unspoil that thing for yourself and then come back. But yeah, so that thing at the end with Luigi,
yeah,
that looked really cool.
It did.
What are they called? The skeleton Koopa Troopas?
Yeah, I'm sure they got a name and I can't think of it right now, but no,
which makes me think there's definitely going to be boos, like the ghosts.
Oh, yeah,
no, in this movie. And
like I said,
we haven't seen Donkey Kong yet.
No, we haven't seen Donkey Kong, although I'm on the fence with that because it's Seth Rogen. That could go either way. But, I mean, Jack Black's not really doing his Jack Black thing as Bowser, which was kind of cool, at least in the trailer.
That's true.
But
hasn't he done voiceover work and other stuff? I can't think right
now. He's the Kung Fu Panda.
Oh, yeah. So he knows what he's doing in the voiceover booth, even though that was more Jack Blacky than this. But
yeah, I mean, I admit it's a little weird. Charles Martinet is not the voice of Mario, but, you know.
You know what it reminded me of, though? The voice that he's doing, everyone's like, oh, he's just doing Chris Pratt. He's just doing Chris Pratt. And it's like the voice actually reminded me of the voice you hear in the Mario Brothers Super Show. Like, if you go and watch that, the first, I think that was the first cartoon they did.
Yes. So also,
I don't remember if it was the first or second, but you know what I mean.
While we're complaining, Mario also does not look like Lou Albano. Albino, however you say it. So it's like, the point is the two Marios you grew up with in media that were not in the games were a professional wrestler and a really great actor who signed a contract and had to do a job.
Yeah.
Because I don't remember when the Mario
and whoever did his voice for the Mario Brothers 3 cartoon.
Yeah.
Which I can't think of what that voice sounded like right now, but it was not the one that everyone wants for this either. So there's been multiple Mario voices.
It's just funny because I remember seeing the Mario Brothers movie in the theater, not hating it, accepting that it was different. But I wasn't sitting there the whole time going, Dennis Hopper doesn't look anything like King Koopa. Like, it just didn't factor into me at all.
No, I really like that this looks like, it looks like it could be the trailer for a new Mario game. It's that perfect.
And I feel like, video game movie-wise, we're kind of in a good place. Because there's really only been...
Yeah. Sonic was good. I didn't see the second Sonic movie yet. I really got to get on
that. The second Sonic
was
good.
My wife had no interest in it, so that's a setback. You know?
No, the second Sonic I enjoyed more, actually. But I think really... There's been one or two dud video game movies lately, but I mean, Detective Pikachu I enjoyed. Both the Sonic movies.
Uh-huh.
I mean, Mortal Kombat, I thought that was disappointing. And
I forgot about that.
Resident Evil Welcome to Raccoon City was disappointing, even though it followed the games, kind of. But I mean, as far as like the non... more mature games that they've been adapting, they've all been pretty solid. So it makes you wonder if a Crash Bandicoot or a Spyro or something would be down the pipeline.
Well, I did see somebody online say, and this thought intrigued me, that they were like calling it now that this Mario movie is going to have a post credits that's going to set up like another Nintendo movie, which I think is a cool thought. But I've got two caveats to that. Two things where I don't think it's completely implausible, but I have two problems with that theory. Number one is that when Marvel and by extension like DC started doing those post-credits things, they were always for movies that had already been announced. Can you think of any example where there was like a post-credits for something that was like the announcement that thing was coming? I don't think they ever did that.
Nothing that I can think of off the top of my head.
So I think that's going against it. And the second problem I have with that theory is what would it all be leading to? Because obviously they're hinting at the fact that everything is shared universe now. And if they made like a Metroid movie or like a Zelda movie, like what are they going to do? A Smash Brothers movie? Like how are they going to link it all together? They're going to do Captain N? They're going to bring him out of retirement? They'd need Mega Man for that.
Actually, that would be really cool if they did a Captain N movie.
That was like a cool thing I saw, but I'm like, you know what? It's not likely in my opinion, but we'll see.
With how Nintendo is, I'm thinking no, because they don't know how this is going to do, and I can't see them having committed to, oh yeah, here's another property, make a movie.
Yeah.
And I Metroid, I could see making a movie. Legend of Zelda, I don't know, because Link doesn't talk, and if you have him talk, it's a little weird.
I would be okay with an animated like this, like a CGI,
yeah.
But I would not be okay with a live-action Zelda movie. I don't know what the difference is, but I just wouldn't want it.
I feel like...
I also saw another theory You know how people were complaining when the poster came out and they were saying that his butt is flat?
No, I didn't know that.
It was like a big topic on the internets. And I saw someone, this is like one of the funniest tinfoil hat conspiracies because it's just about Mario. I never thought I'd see it in my life that I would see a conspiracy theory about Mario's butt. But the conspiracy theory is that Nintendo made his butt flat on purpose so that they could fix it when people complained and they wouldn't talk about the rest of the design. Which I'm like, I hate how much sense that makes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I posted an Always Sunny gif of I don't care either. It's that's how I feel about all these arguments. Like, yeah. If you're not interested in it, fine, but are we going to really analyze the Mario Brothers animated movie trailer?
Okay, so let's go shot by shot right now, you and me.
I mean,
I like that the penguins are in it. I've seen a couple of cute gifs so far of the penguin getting dropped off in Mario 64, like added in. It's good stuff.
The only thing I thought was weird is there were no Goombas in the trailer, but that's all.
Well, there's no way.
I'm sure they're in the movie, but I was just like, huh.
Yeah, we'll see it at some point. It can only fit so much. So I figured since we're talking about Mario right now, I'd like to talk about, I just finished Mario Sunshine.
Yeah, I saw that.
I finished that today.
Did you get everything?
I got everything. 100%. Right. Mario game's not over till I get all the stars / shines / moons / whatever.
So you did all those crazy. It hangs over me
like a dark cloud.
Crazy parkour levels.
Yeah. They're not the most difficult thing in the game. I'll say that. The parts where they take away the flood thing.
Yep.
So I wanted to give some downs and then ups. So I'm going to start with the downs so I finish on the ups because you know we like to keep things positive. So, and then I figured we could do this for like every game we finish on here since that's what this bonus podcast is supposed to be. Right. It's just all the stuff we want to talk about that doesn't fit Ninja Turtles. So like when you finish Final Fantasy IX, you can talk about what you liked and didn't like. And that's a game I have memorized, so I could chime in. But so Mario Sunshine, quick review, couple of downs. The downs, it's definitely weaker than Mario 64 because it doesn't learn from Mario 64's mistakes. It boots you out of the levels when you get a shine. You have to boot out of the level and then go back in, which is something that even on the Nintendo 64, they had already fixed with like games like Banjo-Kazooie. You get to keep doing the level. And not only do they not fix it, but they make it worse because in Mario Sunshine, you even get booted out of the level for the 100 coin reward. In Mario 64, that was like the one star that didn't boot you out of the level. And also, it boots you out of the level every time you die, which gets really annoying because like we're, especially with Mario Odyssey.
Yeah.
We've learned that you can, it still feels like a challenge and it still feels like a fun game. If you let the player pick up right before they died, you don't need to boot them out of the level or find like some checkpoint, but booting them out of the level's harsh.
I feel like Galaxy had all that stuff too.
Well, we'll get there when I finish Galaxy. It's been a long time since I played Galaxy. Another down, I feel like down. Now I'm talking like Stu World Order. So I feel like they originally wanted to make the game about removing all the graffiti because when you read about the story of the game, that's what it's so focused on.
Yeah.
But it's almost like bait and switch because then when you start playing the game, you learn that it's not about the graffiti at all. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's about finding the shines. So I feel like they wanted to make the game completely different than Mario 64. And then they were like, you know what? Let's make this a little more familiar to people who played that game. I have nothing but speculation to support this. But all the story pieces you hear about is, oh, this game is about removing the graffiti and Mario gets blamed for the crime. And that's like the first 5 minutes of the game.
I was going to say, like, that's the initial premise.
Yeah. And then, like, the shines even look like stars. So it's weird that they changed it to shines. And I don't know. I think there was more to the graffiti thing at first, and they took it out of the game. Maybe that eventually became like the Splatoon games or something. I don't know. And my last gripe is there's not enough levels. So there's only, I didn't count, but I think there's like 7 levels compared to the 15 that were in Mario 64.
And you go back to them frequently.
You have to finish almost every objective in the game to unlock Bowser at the end and beat it. You have to do, there's 8 shines in each level, and you have to do 7 shines in each level. And the 8th one is always the easiest one. So you're going to do that one anyway. So you basically have to do every single shine to finish the game, which is a big drawback. Because Mario 64, there were whole levels you could skip.
Yeah.
And still finish and still fight Bowser. You'd still have enough stars to fight Bowser at the end.
Odyssey improved on that too, because it was only like some minimum you had to get on each level.
Yeah. So that's definitely a drawback, is that you basically have to do all of the objectives in the game to finish it. And Yoshi was terrible. I'll just say that. He was clearly not a fully finished mechanic in the game.
I didn't even know he's in that game.
Oh boy, is he ever. And it's frustrating every single time. He does not control well.
I feel like Galaxy 2, he was a little rough too.
So now we'll get to the good, because I did like the game. I'm going to say that. So I love the world that the game creates. I like that it's all centered around a single theme, because Mario 64 was obviously all over the place. Same thing with Galaxy. It's all different types of galaxies, but it's all this tropical island theme, which I liked. I like the flood mechanic.
Yeah, I've been
there's
doing
a really easy change I think they could have made, where instead of having to get the different nozzles every time, they could have just, when you unlock them, put them on the D-pad. Because there's 4 nozzles, and there's 4 directions on the D-pad. Just switch there. So, because there's not any reason you should have to hunt them down. They're always in easy to get to locations. So the game's not like making it a challenge to get to it.
No,
so
but
once
it's
you
like,
unlock it,
it's like a quality of life thing. But there really wasn't much of that put into that collection, unfortunately.
Yeah. I like the size of the levels. So I feel like in Mario Odyssey, they're too big.
Okay.
And even in Galaxy, sometimes they're a little too big. But I love this. These are, I feel like even though there are only 7 worlds, they're all about the same size. They're a little bigger than a Mario 64 world. So that was perfect. And I love that you can see each area when you're in the levels. Like when you're on one world, you can see the other world in the distance. That was really cool.
I've never noticed
especially
that
for the GameCube era.
Yeah, that's
So that was all my thoughts on Mario Galaxy. 100% completed it. I don't recommend people have to 100% complete it to get to finish it. Like you only need to do the main objectives, which I think amounts for about 80 shines. There's 120 in the game total, but the rest of that total is like stuff that's like hidden. So you do have to do all the objectives, but you don't have to do all like the optional shines to get 120. And I would recommend people just get through the game, basically. Because it is worth a play. It's not worth obsessing over. That's my final review.
Okay. Because I feel like, I know at the time people were disappointed with it, but I feel like it kind of gained a better reputation as time's gone
on. That whole GameCube era was about experimenting for them. Like there was that one that people were weirded out by because you had the flood backpack on a Mario game. You had Wind Waker was weird because Hyrule was all flooded and they did the cell shading.
Star Fox.
You had Star Fox Adventures. Correct. Yeah, that's a good call. It was really weird. Metroid was a first person shooter.
Yeah.
Like every franchise experimented in different ways in that era. So that's that. Did you watch any Andor?
So now that it's spooky season, I've been doing my horror movies. So I'm trying to be like Vargulish and watch at least one a day. Some days I do two, but so
you know I can't do the horrors.
Is there any that you watch?
Are you afraid of the dark's as horror as I get? What?
There's a few you like, though. You like The Shining. And...
yeah, but there's nothing gory in The Shining.
Is that what it is for you, the gore?
I can't handle, like zombies I can't handle. I can't handle super bloody stuff. Like, it just really... it grosses me out. It makes me uncomfortable. We had this conversation once. I said, I figured out what it is. It's that it makes me feel uncomfortable. And I get that that's the point, but I don't like feeling uncomfortable.
Are there any that you break out for Halloween?
I mean, my go-to stuff for Halloween is like kid stuff. It's like, I love the Simpsons Halloween specials. Yep. I love stuff like Luigi's Mansion. Yep. Is there any, I like the first Halloween movie because that's not like, there's not like much gore.
Oh, yeah, say there's basically no gore in that movie.
Yeah. So I like the first Halloween movie. I like the first, Nightmare on Elm Street movie. I bought a DVD set a long time ago and I never made it all the way through, but it had, I think I bought two sets. I think I bought a set that was all the Nightmare on Elm Streets and all the Friday the 13th. And I only made it to like the first two of each. And I just because I never got around to watching the rest.
I was going
to
say, Nightmare on Elm Street might have a few that are a little much for you. But Friday the 13th, it's pretty ridiculous.
And I like when sitcoms do Halloween specials. So.
Okay.
That's what I watch. I can't really do much. My wife is very much into the horror, so she'll take me to the movies, but I'll watch it and I'll kind of, I don't know, like, I haven't met one yet where I'm like, I regret watching it, but I won't seek it out on my own.
You know? Okay. I'm trying to, what is it, day six at this point, so I've watched Creepshow, I've watched They Live, The Descent, which I hadn't seen since it came out. It holds up. The Descent Part 2, which I'd never seen. And just, it's a new movie and it is a sequel, but it just felt like deleted scenes to me, like a third act that they had scrapped. So it was kind of a weird thing to watch. I was like, this didn't need a sequel. There was no need for this. And then
Does Predator count as horror? I mean, Predator. That's more action.
You know, there's always... I don't know why it's...
Alien.
That's like Alien. Horror. Jaws. That's a horror movie at its heart.
Well, like those.
But no, I get what you mean because my dad likes horror movies, but like he won't do like an Evil Dead or something like that.
I especially don't like if there's like bugs or like anything where like you see like the organs or stuff inside people, like that type of stuff. Body horror.
So no Hellraiser for you this weekend?
No. Absolutely not.
But what else? I'm watching
Candyman. I remember seeing bugs in Candyman. Didn't they come out of his mouth or something?
Yes, Tony Todd prides himself on the fact he had real bees in his mouth. I've met him too. He's a nice guy.
Didn't come up. Yes, he's a very nice guy.
They paid him extra to do the bees, and I was like, good for you. Well, I mean, you're gonna have real bees.
I almost had another horror. Oh, I liked. You know what I did like? And again, this is another horror without any gore. I liked the Pumpkinhead movies.
Okay.
Even I, or at least I think, again, I think I only watched the first two. I just watched the first two of things. But
that's okay.
I remember the second movie completely ignored everything about the first. Like I thought that was funny. It's like, wait, that's not how that worked last time.
Yeah, 3 and 4 for those were made direct for sci-fi, so they're bad, good?
No good. Oh, okay.
Tremors. Tremors you could do.
Manos, Hands of Fate.
Yep, Manos. I'm sure somebody breaks that out every Halloween. But
I should make that.
Yeah.
That should be something I do at Halloween, a Mystery Science Theater horror movie marathon. Because they have a few. They have that zombie movie with James Earl Jones. They've got a bunch.
They do. Yeah, I mean, I love horror, and you know, I watch it year round. It's just this month to watch as much of it as possible, but I have the few where it's like I've seen it and I never need to see it again for either uncomfortable factor or it freaked me out. Like, I wouldn't recommend Tusk to you. That one was a bit much to me. And that's body horror that goes in a really odd direction.
And, yeah, I don't know if I'm ever going to watch any Kevin Smith again. I feel like I absorbed enough of him for a lifetime in my early 20s.
Red State is the only thing of his recent catalog that's worth checking out.
Okay.
I'm not going to, you know, spoil it, but yeah.
I never even watched Clerks 2.
Clerks 2 was good.
I've got those original five movies, and that's good enough for me. Maybe up to Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, but that's about as far as I think I go.
Yeah, because Jay and Silent Bob, the reboot was eh. And what the heck else has he done lately? I know Clerks 3 is like sort of out, but didn't get a theatrical release. I don't know. He's all over the place lately. But yeah, the guy made into a Walrus movie, that's not for you.
Any other horror you want to talk about?
So before we started recording, I think I got like 20 minutes left of it, but I'm watching this South American horror movie called Terrified, which I'd never heard of, and I'm gonna
sounds terrifying.
I need a palate cleanse after, so I gotta watch something ridiculous because it's got some creepy stuff.
Speaking of horror stuff, I recommended to you this week. You should check out what was it? The Plunge.
The Plunge. It's
a comic book.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
I texted
yeah.
you about something. I heard them talking about it on a podcast this week. I think it was called It's either The Plunge or Plunge. It sounded really cool. It reminded me of that prequel Resident Evil game because they were talking about it's a mini series, it's six issues, and apparently I haven't read it, I'm just going off of what they said on this podcast, but it really seemed like something you would like because it's horror.
Yeah,
and I'm surprised you don't read more horror comics because you like both things. But it it's apparently on like a boat and there's like a zombie invasion on the boat or something, and I don't know, it sounded really creepy and up your alley.
I'll definitely check it out. Yeah, they're not scary really, but Tim's comics are horror based. Those are pretty good.
Yeah, I've read his comics. That's a good description. They're horror based.
I mean, yeah, I guess Orca Geist is creepy, but the other stuff isn't. It's just it has monsters, but yeah, you're very much Hellboy is kind of the limit for you.
Probably.
No, I'm, you know, enjoying spooky season, and I mean, I can't believe how much good horror stuff is out that I just haven't had a time to go see or stream or anything, so. Very, very happy year for horror fans.
So you didn't watch Andor this week?
No, and I gotta get back around She-Hulk, because everyone's up in arms about, I feel like they are every episode. Right,
which
of that.
One do you want me to talk about first? Because I feel like we got to bring up both.
What's going on with She-Hulk that everybody's all like,
Nothing. I mean, the internet. don't pay attention to people going, because literally for the rest of our lives now, anytime anything is released, people are going to be going, like it's literally going to be everything now, because they're already doing it for the Mario trailer that's not even 5 hours old yet, so they're gonna be going for everything. My notes for She-Hulk this week continue to be, because I've said this on a few other episodes, I still love it. I like that this show, it feels like it feels the most like reading a Marvel comic book out of everything the Marvel Studios has done so far. That doesn't mean it's my favorite thing they've done, but it feels the most like reading a Marvel comic book.
Okay.
Like, there's other things that are important to me other than that feeling, so it's like not my favorite thing. But that said, you know, I've also been reading Daredevil for like 15 years. And I, again, spoilers for these things, but I think that, and I'm not going to spoil much, but I think that this episode, which did have Daredevil in it, it felt more accurate to comic book Daredevil than most of the Netflix series did, because it was too busy being too serious. And not that this is Who Framed Roger Rabbit or anything, it's not as like, the weight of the world is on my shoulders and I'm grumpy. And I know Netflix series had jokes. I'm just saying, I really dug the feel that this gave off. It really, really felt to me like Daredevil showing up in a She-Hulk comic. And
so it was perfect. So Charlie Cox,
it might be recency bias, but I think it was perfect.
What Charlie was Cox has some surprises in store then.
He does. In fact, if you'll recall, I was actually one of the people who didn't want them to bring the Netflix series into the MCU. I was like, I liked the series, but I'd be perfectly fine if they recast him. I was not one of the people who was like, Charlie Cox is my Daredevil and don't you dare change it. So coming from that point of view, I got to say, I really like what they're doing with it now that it's there.
Okay.
I wouldn't have complained if they recast, but it's the only complaint I have about She-Hulk is I feel like the fourth wall breaking is sometimes inconsistent. Like,
okay,
it's not like Deadpool where it's nonstop, but it's also it'll go so long without doing it that you forget it's a part of the show. You know what I mean?
And then
it'll show up out of nowhere in the last 30 seconds.
Gotcha.
So I think that's a little inconsistent, but it literally, for the most part, and you can tell me if you agree or not when you watch the series, but in my mind, it's like she breaks the fourth wall in the opening of the episode and the closing and almost never in between.
Okay.
Like very rarely. So it's like it's not there a lot. And I get that they were probably trying to ration it and not overdo it, but I don't know. That's my one complaint. I can't pinpoint exactly what it is about it, but something about it feels a little inconsistent to the rest of the show.
And you like the suit? The red and yellow?
Which suit? Daredevil?
Yeah. Isn't that what they went with? His original comic suit?
I didn't love it, but I didn't hate it. I'm indifferent on the suit. I'll say I preferred the red suit over this one. But okay. I wasn't in love with the red suit either. So far, I'd say they haven't nailed a Daredevil costume for me yet, period.
All right.
Unless you're talking about the black like hood
thing
that he wore over his face, which was exactly what he looked like in Born Again, was it? Something like that.
That would have been really hard to screw up. But all right, yeah, I got to check it out. And then Andor is... I feel like it's so many episodes of things I've missed. What are they, four or five
Andor
episodes?
Andor is really good. I know I just keep saying things are really good. I swear there are things I don't like, but I find it's more fun to be positive. So, in fact, you remember when we were tossing around ideas for podcasts before we did Ninja Turtle Nerds? One of my ideas was I was like, let's do a podcast on the fact that I like every movie I see. Because I tend to like everything.
It's true.
But anyway, Andor. Here's something I don't like. You know what? Let's go that way. Let's change directions. So there's a part in Andor that stuck out to me. And I feel like everybody's got these different things in Star Wars where they're like, that doesn't feel like Star Wars.
Yeah,
but
okay.
Nobody can, but it's never something that everybody can agree on.
So for me, it's the humor in the sequel trilogy. But yeah, okay.
Okay, so but more specifically, I'm going to say, I feel like everybody's got certain words that they hear. And they're like, that word doesn't sound like something they should be saying in Star Wars. For example, Star Wars Minute podcast points out that in Attack of the Clones, when they say girlfriend, and then in Force Awakens, they bring it up again when he says boyfriend. You got a cute boyfriend? Boyfriend? Cute boyfriend?
Yeah.
They say like girlfriend and boyfriend doesn't feel right in Star Wars. Now, those don't stand out to me, but it stood out to them. So the word that stood out to me in Andor is there's a part where they're coming in and they say, we're serving a warrant. And I'm like, they have warrants in Star Wars? That seems like so, it's not even Earth specific. It's like certain country specific. Cause like not even every country in America, in Earth, uses warrants. Like there's like some of them, trying to think, like some country uses, I think they're called like red notices. They say, oh, there's a red notice out for me. Like not everyone even says warrant. So it's just weird. Like, and it doesn't seem like the Empire would bother with warrants. They're fascist government.
Yeah. They just kick your door in and that's that.
But at the same time, I can't remember because I didn't catch all the details. I'm not going to lie, on Andor. So correct me in the comments below if I'm wrong about this. I don't think these people work for the Empire. I think they work for the Republic. So I could kind of see the Republic being more, diplomatic. Because keep in mind, this is 5 years before A New Hope. So the Senate hasn't been disbanded yet. So there's still the Empire and the Republic.
Gotcha.
But at the same time, I just don't think warrants would exist in Star Wars. That word stood out to me. So if you want me to complain about something, that's my complaint. I didn't like, and they said it like three times. They said, we're serving a warrant. And then people started getting angry at what they were doing. They're like, we have a warrant. We have a warrant. I'm like, that's so like American cop drama. That's not Star Wars.
I'm sure I could think of something outside of the sequel humor, but yeah, there's definitely times where I could see like, that's not quite right. You know, the best example of it, J.J. Abrams' Star Trek movies, because they feel more like Star Wars to me than Star Trek.
I only saw the first one, but I'd agree because they're more action based, which Star Trek wasn't, as far as I know, much into action.
Star Trek, it had action, but it was more ideas and philosophies and things. So that stuck out to me in his movies.
Makes sense. So continuing, that's all the nerdy stuff I have to talk about this week, unless you had something else.
No, what are you afraid of the dark that I'm not going to bother to look up? Did you do? Rank next.
So let me get my list here so I can recap what we've done so far. My top 10 Are You Afraid of the Darks leading up to Halloween. This one, I feel like I put too high on the list.
Okay.
I feel like it should have been at about like 7. It's not all the way at the bottom, but it's too high at number 4. But anyway, the list so far is The Tale of the Super Specs at 10. Tale of Station 109.1 featuring Ryan Gosling at 9. The Tale of the Dead Man's Float at 8. The Tale of the Midnight Madness at 7. So this should have gone at 8. It's about there, but whatever. Hindsight. So The Tale of the Night Shift was the last one we talked about, and The Tale of the Loud Music.
Yep.
We also talked about last week. Now number 4, The Tale of the Silent Servant. Now, this is another one.
Good title.
I'm going to get The Silent Servant up on my phone right now.
It's got a really good
show you when it
creepy
comes up in the
ring
story.
To it.
What's that?
The title has a really good creepy ring to it.
Ooh. Well, you know, it's a Betty Ann jam. And as I told you, Betty Ann is known as having the best stories on the show. So Sorry, my phone is not working for this Google search. Here we go. Okay, so here's the episode, and then I'll show you what the thing looks like when it's appropriate. Ooh. So, obviously, it starts with the Midnight Society. They're at the fire, and Kiki and Frank show up, and they're, like, complaining that Betty Ann wouldn't let them sneak into a movie. She ratted them out.
How dare she?
Wouldn't let them sneak in. So Betty Ann is like, look, I'm going to tell a whole ghost story to explain myself. Like they always do on the
show. That is dedication. My God. I'm going to write an essay. In. Here you go.
She's going to talk about the dangers of remaining silent or something like that is her.
Okay.
Her catch here.
That's the lesson.
So the fire. That's the lesson. So, and then she says, I call this story the tale of the silent servant. So, 20 years ago, the story opens.
Ooh.
Something weird was going on at Mr. Earlstead's farm.
Oh, all right. I've seen this episode.
It's a good episode.
This episode was on the tape I borrowed for a year and a half.
Oh, okay.
So I remember this.
So, yeah, we see something weird going on at the farm, but we don't know. It doesn't. It does one of those things where you can tell that it's weird, but you don't know exactly what's going on.
Yep.
And then it cuts to present day. And present day, we've got our characters Jared and Anne. And Jared and Anne, they're walking by the barn that we just saw in that flashback. They're supposed to be out. They're out for their family's farm. This is like Jack and the Beanstalk. They're delivering beans.
As you do.
Because they have to pay off this window that Jared broke while he was playing catch on the farm. And they see this barn, and they go in because he is obsessed with baseball, like the whole episode. Just can't get enough baseball. It's all this kid thinks about. And they see the barn, and they think maybe they'll be able to find some wood to build a dugout because he wants to build like a little on the farm, like a little baseball dugout. So
remember when kids used inside. To do stuff?
What's that?
Remember when kids used to do stuff?
They go inside, and when I think it's Anne opens the little open, they're exploring the barn, and she opens a closet, and this really creepy what are they called, scarecrow falls
yeah
out.
Yeah, all right. I saw this.
And basically they're like, let's take this back to the farm, even though it's super creepy. Because I think one of their chores was to, I don't know. They want it to scare the crows away like it's supposed to do. They're like, let's put this on the farm to scare the crows away.
Oh, so they happened to find him. Got it.
Yeah. Well, it fell out of the closet when they were in the barn. And also with this thing, there's like a talisman with two dragons.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah. So anyway, they forget to deliver the beans.
No!
Because they found this sweet scarecrow. And eventually they go back to deliver the beans, I think, and they find this old man. He's like talking about the dragons and how only the true master can separate them. And it's obviously that thing in the horror movie that it's the rambly, crazy guy who's not making any sense. But then you understand what he means at the end. So Anne digs the talisman out of her pocket, and she discovers that inside the talisman, there's like a sheet of paper rolled up. And on that sheet of paper, there's like a spell that Jared reads out loud, because he's obviously, you get a piece of paper, you read what's on it.
Clearly.
Don't know why he reads it out loud. And what they don't realize is that this spell awakens the Scarecrow. Dun, dun, dun. He becomes the Silent Servant. So I think the first thing he does is they say something like, I wish we didn't forget to deliver the beans or something. And then the next day they find out the beans were delivered, but they didn't deliver them.
Some weird guy came by with the beans.
And it fixes the broken window. And I remember at one point, like when Jared puts two and two together and he's like, hey, I'm going to wish for my dugout, because he wants his baseball dugout. So he wishes for the dugout. But the wood that the thing built the dugout out of was the fence that they had just finished building. He like took the wood from the fence. So the kids got in trouble for that. And I can't remember. I should have wrote this down. This is so bad of me, because this is like a key plot point and I can't remember it. It wasn't as unnatural as I'm going to make it sound, but like the crux of the story was, oh, I remember what it is. So Jared thinks that his cousin stole his baseball gloves, or he doesn't know who stole the baseball gloves at first. And he says, I'd like to kill whoever did, which is kind of harsh for a kid's show. And then they put together, oh, wait, you wished that. And the baseball gloves are with Anne's brother, his cousin. So it's like that Scarecrow is going to go kill my brother. And it's like this really tense thing. And he tries to be like, maybe I can unwish it. But then they remember what the crazy guy was saying about you have to separate the dragons, and only the true master could separate the dragons, and that was Mr. Earlstead, and he's dead. So,
oh no.
But eventually they figure out, let's go over to Mr. Earlstead's grave, and they break the dragons on the grave, and the Scarecrow disappears. End of story.
Yeah, that was so a
it's
good
one of those episodes that builds up to like a tense moment, and then the good guys win in the end. And then the Midnight Society ends with Frank and Kiki. They tell Betty Ann they understand, and they offer to buy her tickets next time they go to a movie.
Please, please don't send the Scarecrow to kill us. We'll pay to go to the movie. I don't think Scarecrows get enough credit for being creepy.
That's true. It's true.
But he's also my favorite Batman villain, but... You know what? That's the first Goosebumps I owned, was The Scarecrow Walks at Midnight. That was a good story.
I saw on IMDb trivia, and I didn't include it, but now I am. I can't vouch for this, so I don't know if it's just somebody like making a loose connection into more than it really is. But it said that Goosebumps references this Are You Afraid of the Dark? I don't know how. They didn't include how, so...
That would be interesting, because those are two very like iconic 90s kids horror things, and I don't know.
Well, they shared writers, and like some of the, because R.L. Stine didn't write all the Goosebumps by himself. I think he had like ghostwriters and stuff. I've just heard, or maybe I'm thinking of the TV show. Yeah, it's probably the Goosebumps TV show. The Goosebumps TV show shared a lot of writers with something. Goosebumps shared writers.
Probably the show.
With Are You Afraid of the Dark? Okay, I don't have any of the facts. but that is
we,
that.
We,
and now
we
let
need
me give
a,
you a clue for next week's tale.
We need a new killer Scarecrow. Although, oh, you know what? You could probably watch and be the Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark movie.
That sounds scary.
It's got a Scarecrow in it, Harold. That's a pretty good part of the movie. But yeah, that was decent. I think you'd be all right for that.
So next week we'll start the top three Are You Afraid of the Darks?
Ooh.
And I'll tell you, you didn't go to this dance that's hinted at in the title of this here episode.
That's call this clue. The tale of Nick and Sean went to Spider-Man instead of prom.
So that's the clue for next week. And I think that's all the talk we got.
We'll wait and see. I'm curious if there's going to be any Carrie nods in that episode.
I don't think so. I haven't watched it in a while, though, so let me wait. I could be wrong. So, yeah, we got any inspirational quotes here, or should I? Let me see. And then I'll thank our peeps. Do 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 do.
Dun dun.
Madeline Albright, what did you have to say? Here's our inspirational quote. It took me quite a long time to develop a voice, and now that I have it, I'm not going to be silent. Madeline
Ooh.
Albright.
Ooh, that goes with Silent Servant. So, kudos for
wow.
Completely stumbling on that.
But you're right. Okay, so thank you everyone who supported this show. Thank you, Alonzo Evening. Thank you, Ian. Thank you, Janky Zipper. Thank you, Lenny Not Dead. Thank you, Luis Diaz. Thank you, Naris Corpse. Thank you, Noe. Thank you, Rob Luther. And thank you, Tara Clarkson. And we'll see you all for the next Nerd Therapy next Friday. See you then. And that was Nerd Therapy. Like I said at the beginning of this, all you have to do to get access to that is support our Patreon. As little as $1 a month, we do a bonus episode every single week. And it's always about whatever's going on in nerd news at the time. We're counting down the Are You Afraid of the Darks still. We'll probably move on to Thanksgiving and Christmas specials after that. And we talk about nerd movies, nerd video games, nerd related, anything that Sean and I are doing that's nerd related that week, we talk about there. So go on over and hit us up on Patreon and you'll get a bonus episode every single week. And thank you for listening.